It is a study from 1 Corinthians, so you're welcome to turn there. So most of us would probably agree, if I asked you to raise your hand, but I won't, I could use more exercise. I said you didn't have to raise your hand. I should maybe watch what I eat, not watch as I eat. And so some of the questions we're trying to discover is, are those kind of things true in my spiritual life as well, in my spiritual condition? So last time we said that we needed some charts or maybe a list that would help us to decide, are we spiritually healthy or aren't we? Are we doing everything we can to grow and develop spiritually? Those are the things we're going to investigate in 1 Corinthians this summer. So let's see, a couple of our youth are here. Are you going to be disturbed if I ask you to move here? Would you two come up as well? We're going to have the youth sit up front. Yay! And actually, youth group is meeting this afternoon. So see, this is practice. So how many of you wish that you were that age again? Don't raise your hands. In some ways we do and in some ways we don't, right? So as far as health and fitness and weight, see, they probably chuckled when we all said, yeah, we could use better exercise and better eating habits. But they probably all do that. In fact, I remember then, and we were friends with Kurt Kimmel back then, Pastor Kurt, and he would come to our house, and whatever leftovers we had, so we would have our meal, then we'd get all of our leftovers out and put them out on the counter, Trish, and then Becky and Steph and Dory would watch. And then he'd go over and he'd look and he'd say, oh, I'll have a couple pieces of chicken. Okay, so he'd eat a couple pieces of chicken. He still does it? Well, he told me he doesn't anymore, that now that his metabolism isn't there. But he was a semi-pro football player, and he had this unbelievable metabolism. So one day, I think it was Dory, said, Dad, he ate 6 pieces of chicken. And so back then, you could do that because your metabolism was high. So let's stir up our spiritual metabolism so our hunger and thirst increases. All right, so let's put on running shoes and head out to the spiritual fitness gym together for an evaluation and personal spiritual fitness plan. 1 Corinthians 1. All right, so I think we're ready. There we go. We're doing just a little review to catch everyone up. Last time we were reminded of what 3 things we each need if we want to grow and develop. So these are the 3 things. You probably have these jotted down, or if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, you can catch up with the rest of us and get prepared for the summer. Number 1, we need to know, what is my present spiritual age and condition? What is my present spiritual age and condition? And remember, that's going to be different than your physical age and your physical condition. Number 2, what workout equipment has God given to each of us to use? What tools has He given us to grow and develop? And number 3, we each need some friends and possibly a personal spiritual trainer to work out with. Those are the 3 things that we need to grow and develop. And that's what we're going to work on throughout the summer. Okay? Next slide. And this is going to help us to discover and see each of these 3 answers and questions more clearly. This is what we're going to try to answer each week. So when I go through my sermon today, I want you to be looking for these things. Who am I and who am I not? See, sometimes the who am I is answered by talking about who I am not, and sometimes vice versa is true. If you know you are not something, then you know you are something else. Okay, number two, what do I need to start doing? What do I need to stop doing? So what am I presently doing that isn't helping me to grow and develop spiritually? And maybe I should stop that thing. And then what is it that God would want me to start doing that will help me to grow and develop spiritually? And then third, what truth each Sunday am I learning? What kingdom revelation that will help me to grow and develop? So in just our first three verses, I don't know if you realized that 2 weeks ago, we only got through verse 1, 2, and 3. In those three verses, we learned some things. So we can go to the next one. I am no longer dirty or contaminated. Why? Because I've been washed and cleansed. The spiritual word for that is sanctified. We also learned that I am a saint. I am not a sinner. We also learned I am part of the body of Christ, the church. We learned I am not separated. I am no longer alone. I am a part of a large family, the family of God. That was a lot to learn in 1 week. The first tool, the first piece of exercise equipment that we found out that God gave us was his what, Jack? His grace. His grace. That was the first tool, his grace. And because of that, we now have his favor and his enabling. So isn't that a good place to start? There are some things we know about who we are and who we are not, and that he gave us his grace. He's on our side. He's not against us. Pastor Kurt talked last week about the fact that we all once were sinners. We all once were separated from a close relationship with Father God. But he reminded us that Jesus gave himself for us. He offered his life in place of mine and yours. Why? Because God loved us even while we were yet sinners. So if that's true, now that we are part of the family, and now that we are sons and daughters, how much deeper and greater is that love? He's rooting for us. He's for us and not against us. His grace enables you and I to do far above what we could do on our own. So how fast can you run? And how much can you lift? In the spiritual realm, whatever you can do on your own, he can help us do far and above. How do I know that? The scripture tells us that with God, nothing is impossible. And with God, all things are possible. He can help us through anything and to overcome everything. The kids would appreciate it, but they're not here to hear me say this. Maybe some of the teens will get a chuckle. But through him, we appear to have superpowers. Aiden and Sam want to talk about superpowers all the time. Superman and Batman and all of this. Why do I say that? Because I can't heal anybody. But through God, I can pray and see people healed, delivered, set free, restored. Amen. Amen. All because of his grace. All right, so what can we discover today? If we discovered all of that last time, what can we discover today? All right. So you can see there we are We are doing verse 4 and 5 to start out today. We did 1, 2, and 3 last time. So let's read 4 and 5 together. 1 Corinthians 1, 4 and 5. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God. Oh, that sounds familiar. Which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge. The first thing I want us to catch here is that it says, Paul says, he's the writer of Corinthians, my God. I thank my God. Well, this morning, we can be confident of that. He's not Pastor Steve's God. He's not Billy Graham's God. He's not Paul's God only. He's your God. So each of you can say, he is my God. He is my Heavenly Father. Not somebody else's, not the person sitting in front of you or beside you or behind you, but he's mine. He's my Heavenly Father. That's the kind of relationship he wants us to have. Not because, you know, we read in the Bible what he did or who he is to somebody else, but who is he to you? He's my God, my Heavenly Father. In everything you were enriched. I knew just because of the way that was used in the sentence that there had to be a lot to that word. So listen to the meaning of that word. Enrich means to fill and fully supply you with in abundance. It said that it was a redundant word. In other words, you're filled, okay, so how much fuller can you get than filled, but you're filled in abundance. It's the process of moving you out of poverty into wealth. You become enriched. Out of poverty and into wealth. Remember the song, I once was weak, but now I'm strong? We once lived in lack in our spiritual life. We had no peace. We had no joy. We were separated from God, and we were believing lies about Father God. So we once were very poor spiritually, but through Jesus, we have been enriched. So through Jesus, what have we been made rich with? We have become enriched in peace, rich in love, rich in joy. So that means Jesus deposited all of those things into our bank account. We don't have to go and ask him, okay, can you please give me some joy? It's already in the bank account. So if I have money in the bank and I want to use it, what do? I go up to the teller and withdraw it, or I write a check and I spend it. So those things are there because it tells us that we're enriched. We are no longer living in poverty. We are wealthy. Those things have already been deposited into our account. So when we're lacking peace, we can say, oh boy, I don't know where that peace went that I had a couple days ago. I must have spent it. But I can just reach into my bank account and pull out peace. I can reach in and pull out love. I can reach in and pull out joy. It's already deposited in our account. And when we spend it, we use it or give it away, the account balance never goes down. Boy, I wish my financial one was that way. You know, I spend $100 and I get my statement and somebody put it back in. I spend $500 and I get my statement and somebody put it back in. But that's what God does, because that's what this word means. Plus, we know he has an unlimited supply, and we know there's no reason he wouldn't want to lavish it upon us. So when we give out our joy to someone else, or we say, you know, I really feel like you could use some peace today. Can I just pray for you and release peace on you? Well, we've drawn it out of our account and spent it on somebody else, and God pours it right back in. Yay? Isn't that good news? So you don't have to be concerned that if you give it away, you won't have enough for yourself. Pastor Adam, you just want to send that to the next one while we're talking? That way we won't be reading that same thing over and over. All right, let's do verse 5 and 6. That in everything you were enriched in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. So here it mentions two specific things that we were made wealthy with. The first one is speech or utterance. That word is actually logos. You might recognize logos is one of the titles for Jesus as the Word of God. It's saying that we were enriched with all that God says, all that God says about us, and all that God says to us has made us wealthy. The second one that's mentioned is all knowledge, perceiving and understanding. So we have come to understand God through Jesus. How do I know that? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when we read in the Word about Jesus, we now know and have knowledge of the Father. So we have been made rich with knowledge of God. 7 says, you are not lacking in any gift. First reminder, a gift is not earned, it is given. And it says, you are not lacking in any gift. See, sometimes we mistakenly think, well, you know, that person has that, and I have this, but I don't have any of that. Well, it doesn't say that. It says, we are not lacking in any gift. God doesn't walk over and hand Steph a gift and say, no, I'm not going to give that to Marty. It says we are not lacking in any gift. He's generous. Let's read the rest of 7. So that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus. That revelation, and the translation I had studied it in, says we're waiting for Jesus to be revealed. And that means to take the cover off. So let's say you know there's something in a package or in a box or in a chest, but you don't really get to have it disclosed to you until somebody opens the lid. And so this is saying that there's a revelation of Jesus. Well, yes, we understand when he comes back, it says we'll completely understand. But for now, what I want to challenge you with is that you are the ones who reveal Jesus to other people. They may never have been to church, they may have never read the Bible, or maybe they went to church as a kid a few times. So who is it that reveals Jesus to them? It's you and I. So I felt like the question for us to ask today, remember we're gauging our spiritual age and spiritual condition. So the question is, when people encounter you, when people meet with you, does that increase their hunger and their knowledge about God? Or does it have the opposite effect? What are you revealing about Jesus when you interact with other people? Wow. Quite a question, huh? But if we're part of revealing Jesus to other people, then we have to be careful and watch what we're doing and saying that either does or doesn't reveal Jesus to other people. Does having an encounter with you encourage them to want to know Jesus more? See, that's the question. After somebody has a relationship or an encounter with you, they should walk away thinking, well, I want to know that Jesus more. I want to know Steve's God better, because it may not have become their, Jesus may not have become their God yet. So is that what happens when they encounter you? We represent him as his ambassadors to everybody we encounter. And we represent him as his children, his sons and his daughters. One of our jobs is to present and introduce Jesus to other people. So if you knew, like we got to know the mayor of Newville. I don't know how many of you would like to meet the mayor of Newville, but I had a personal meeting with him, Pastor Kurt did. And so if you said, Pastor Steve, would you introduce me to the mayor of Newville? I could do that. Same way with Jesus. If somebody doesn't know Jesus, could they say to you, Paul, would you introduce me to Jesus? Would you be able to do that? Do you know Jesus well enough that you could say to that person, yes, let me explain to you about Jesus and how you can have a relationship with him? Have you thought of that? Do you know Jesus well enough that you could introduce somebody to him? Do you realize why we are called Christians? Christians mean little Christ. Okay? So like if I had named, well, I couldn't have named my girls, but if I had boys and I named them little Steves, okay, they represent Steve. I did pretty close with Stephanie, didn't I? Yes, yes. So the same way when the Bible calls us Christians, that means we're to be a little representation of Christ. You've heard the expression, little me's. Sam is definitely a little Van. It's like you took Van and shrunk him down. I mean, he looks so much like him. You know, remember as kids, we used to have those shrink things? So they just shrunk him down. We're to be mini Jesuses. So let's continue to take the wealth that he gave us and lavish it on other people. Just picture that you won the lottery and you have so much money you can't even think what to do with it, so you just start passing it out. Now I know most of you are thinking, yeah, I think I could do that. Remember that movie, that guy had to spend so much money in a certain amount of time? Stacy, I'm pointing to you. Remember that? Now I can't think of it. No. Say what? Okay. Well, anyway, I remember watching this movie that this guy had to spend a certain amount of money in 24 hours, and he was going to get like 10 times that. He couldn't figure out how to spend it. And so God has made us so wealthy with his supply to us that we should lavishly, generously supply those things to others. Just like you have so much money, you're thinking, what can I do with all this? Call me. We'll talk about it. Okay, give it away to others. Freely you have received, freely give. Just like his love. He has poured out love on us, and Pastor Kurt reminded us of that last week, that he loved us even while we were yet sinners. Shouldn't we be willing to love those who are still dealing with certain things in their life, so we can pour out that love on others. Love them as Jesus would love them, and then they will gladly want to meet Jesus. Wouldn't you want to meet someone that you were told loves you without measure? So if you have the chance to tell somebody, Jesus, God loved you, and he loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. I think they may want to meet that person. What do you think, Trish? They might. All right. Well, the service moved along more rapidly than normal, and I'm not going to extend it just to extend it, so let's stand. And we are going to close a little early today. And you're all thinking, why don't you do this next Sunday for the holiday? I won't be here. We will be on vacation. So this is my vacation treat to everybody. Leave you out early today. Well, I did get a call this week as we close in prayer from Kathy Reese. She, as you know, has been battling certain things, and she went for a treatment, and the treatment made her worse. She ended up in the hospital. So when I got a call from her yesterday, I thought it was about her. No, Bob's back in the hospital. So she said it's pretty ridiculous, because when they go to the Chambersburg Hospital, they all know them. The nurses, the technicians, the people in the ER. So they came in and they said, Kathy, are you back? She said, no, Bob. And he said, oh, Bob's back. So they just keep trading places. So she said, Pastor Steve, please pray that this stops. So I don't want to share Bob's difficulty, because it's a little bit of a sensitive issue, but they're going to do two procedures tomorrow to try to take care of his health issue. And she said, please just pray. So let's pray for those that are battling sickness or disease within our body. We have a bunch of people traveling with the holidays. The Silvises are away for 3 weeks. The Simmons are down at Ocean City. So it's that time of year. Let's just pray about some of those issues. Father, first of all, we are so grateful.